Come to order. Would the members please indicate their presence by voting? Any member failed to vote? Madam Clerk.
26 members present.
We have a quorum. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, may the record reflect that Representatives Chenault, Fink, Green, Morgan, Olden, Jewell, and Moses have previously been excused from the call of the House today. And I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Wilson's previously excused absence be extended until 1:20 p.m. plain time today, and that Representative Hayes' previously excused absence be extended until 12:55 p.m. plain time today, and that Representative McGuire's previously excused absence be extended until 12:55 p.m. plain today, and I assume that we still do have a quorum.
Without objection, those members will be shown as excused, as indicated by the Majority Leader. Leading the invocation this morning is Representative John Coughlin.
Thank you. Let's pray. O God, our Father, we stand here today with gratitude for the privilege of representing our fellow citizens. This task is bigger than we are. Therefore, we look to you for guidance for our deliberations today, as we endeavor to make laws, protect, and provide for our people. Please keep us from wrongfully dominating the lives that we are here to serve, and that justice and mercy may find their balance in our lives as you guide us. As we put forth our views and argue our causes before this body and all of Alaska, please remind us that our hearts are on display before you and for all to see. Now we go to the business of the day. With good courage, gratitude, and reminded of your presence in Jesus' name.
Thank you, John. Representative Mulder, would you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that that prayer be spread upon the journal.
Without objection, that prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 73rd, 74th, 75th, 76th, and 77th legislative day.
Madam Majority Leader.
And Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Journal, as certified by the Chief Clerk, be approved.
Without objection, the journal has been certified. Do we have guests this morning for introduction? Mr. Whitaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I may ask that two ladies in the Taylor Gallery stand and then let me say a few words about them. Could Sandra McGill and Vivian Daly please stand? It's unfortunate that I can't see them. This column stands between my line of sight and them. Well, thank you. Thank you, ladies. You know, we in the interior and the greater interior often consider ourselves to be special. And there are those of us who dispel that consideration. Sometimes there are those of us on the floor of this House
that dispel that consideration.
However, the two ladies standing in the Taylor Gallery are examples of what we should all strive to be. They are both principals. Vivian is the principal of the North Pole High School, and Sandra is the principal of Randy Smith Middle School. Now, that in itself is a significant achievement and would make them special and make all of us in the interior proud of them. However, they are both principals of the year this year for the state of Alaska, and we are very, very proud of them. And, if you could please help me welcome them.
Senator James. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Vivian Daly is from North Pole High School and also a member of my Rotary Club, I know her very, very well, and I just have a couple of things that I would like to read about her, if I might have permission. and that is when she was named as the 2002 MetLife Alaska High School Principal of the Year,
Jim Holt, our borough school superintendent, said, "She truly understands the art of teaching and does not hesitate to work aggressively with her staff to improve the quality of instruction." And Karen Tanner, a teacher at North Pole High School, stated, "Mrs. Daly expects quality work from her students, her staff, and herself. She actively guides her staff towards professional growth, towards focusing on enhancing the understanding of all students, and toward building self-esteem amongst our students. Her suggestions provide support and encouragement as needed. She is one of my very best friends." Thank you.
Representative James. Representative Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also in the Taylor Gallery behind me is another esteemed principal from the interior, Bob Rutman, would stand, please. He's a constituent of mine that teaches across town at Pickethick Brown Elementary. And I believe we are really blessed with having some great teachers and great principals in Fairbanks. We have a wonderful education system, and these are some of the key folks that make it happen. They're down here to talk to us about education, and I hope if you get a chance to talk to them that you will. Please help me welcome Bob Rutman.
Representative Lancaster, and then Sister.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have two friends in the Taylor Gallery, and first, if you could help me welcome Sylvia Reynolds. She's a
So-High principal,
and she was also Teacher of the Year a few years ago. And also in the Taylor Gallery is John El Cantro, which has been around a few times and now working with the Department of Administration. I'm probably poaching.
Representative Sisson and Mulder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, and I believe that I may on one of these two introductions that I'm going to make first. I actually have two steps. The first set, I believe I may be poaching from someone, and I apologize right now, but both of these people are from Anchorage, so it's poaching close at home. And I'd like to introduce two people in the Taylor Gallery, and like others that have been introduced, both of these women are down from Anchorage, or from northern parts of Alaska on principal issues. And first of all, Karen Reed, who is, I will say, both a constituent and I like to think a friend and someone who I've done many projects with over the years.
Karen Reed is the principal at Airport Heights Elementary, and she's also the president of the Anchorage Principals Association. She is joined also with Denise Green Wilkinson, and Denise is the principal of Polaris, K through 12, as I recall. It's a huge job. She's also the director, and this one is a mouthful. She's the director of the Alaska Association of Secondary School Principal. And so I'd like to have the body welcome them to Juno. Second? Thank you. Thank you, everyone. I'd like to introduce also a friend and my former minister, Art Curtis. He's also, Mr. Speaker, my community council co-member and your constituent, and that's where I'm posting on this one. And Art's down here this week to work on a number of things, but one of the things he's working on is doing some study here at the Alaska State Legislature out of my office. And but this is kind of a passion that goes with something that he's done for many years. He's a retired minister, yes, but he's also a retired historian and history teacher. He last did legislative work studying at the Belgian Parliament, and he was
studying language, and of course it's bilingual in Belgium. So I think we can probably give him a run for his money in terms of his complexity on history. And I'd like you all to welcome him to Phoenix. Thank you.
This is Mulder, Foster, Corrin.
Actually, Mr. Speaker, I was going to introduce the member that member to my left did. I guess that what people don't remember, or most folks perhaps don't recall about Johnny Alcantara, those in here in the audience, Johnny started out, I think, the same year I did in the legislature, back in 1985. He was assistant sergeant-at-arms in the other body, rose to become a sergeant-at-arms, and back in those days, we had a pretty good basketball team. I think we won the championship. Let's put a basketball championship 2 or 3 years running as staffers. Of course, the former representative Hamley was on our team then, too, as a staffer. And then he went on, bounced around for a variety of different positions, and I guess I forgive him for his latest political position as political director for NEA. But he has been around the Alaska political circle for many, many years. He is a very familiar name in the Valley, political name in the Napanee Valley. So I'd also like to welcome Johnny.
Welcome again. Okay, Foster.
Yes, sir. I've got somebody in the gallery behind me from Shishmaref. I used to fly into Shishmaref quite a bit, and I can remember people from the village in July and August meeting the plane wearing a snowsuit. But anyway, it gets so cold up there.
How cold?
Well, one time we had a mechanical problem, and I spent the night there, and I remember my teeth were chattering. And they were in a glass by my bed. That's my pillow. So, anyway, I've got the principal here. He's been there for 14 years now, Steve Rock. He's the principal of the school in Shishmaref. Please help me welcome him to Juneau.
I've been Coring and then Belzy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a resident from the Mass too. I don't know if she's a constituent of mine or not. She's somebody I've known for years. Her name is Carol Kane. She's, I'll tell you a little bit about her. She's the executive director of the Alaska Association of Secondary School Principals in Palmer, and she's also very active in the Wasilla Rotary Club, and that's where I see her on a real regular basis. So please help me welcome in the Taylor Gallery, Carol Kane.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also in the Taylor Gallery, I have a friend and constituent, a principal of Paul Banks Elementary School, Richard Toymill, who has recently taken over. Well, it's not recent anymore, but both of my children went through there many years ago, and outstanding community leader. I'd like you to help me welcome Richard.
Representative Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also down here with the principals from Delta Elementary School in Delta Junction, Alaska, is Sandra Hill. Help me welcome her to Juneau.
Any other guests? Representative Kahn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Coaching from the rules chair is not a good thing to do, but I do accept apology from the member from District 21, who did, in fact, introduce one of my constituents, although I would think it might be a higher crime than poaching. It may be theft in the second degree. But just a few words about the principal that has come down from the district. Denise Green Wilkinson was introduced a little earlier. She is, in fact, the principal of Polaris K-12 school, a fantastic school. If anyone hasn't been by there, you got to take a few moments out of your busy schedule and drop by. The test scores are higher than average, and she is certainly a proponent for education and a proponent for quality and education grants. So I hope many of you get the opportunity to visit with her as she's down here for the next couple of days. Thank you.
Seeing no other guests, do we have messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the other body?
A message dated March 27th stating the Senate has concurred in the House amendment to Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 23, thus adopting Senate Concurrent Resolution 23, amended House. And messages dated March 27th and March 28th stating the Senate has passed the following and they're transmitted for consideration. CS for Senate Concurrent Resolution 28, Resources, by the Senate Resources Committee establishing the Joint Legislative Salmon Industry Task Force.
That will be referred to Resources and Finance. Riveted. Please come back to order. We'll take a brief at ease while we're... Madam Clerk.
29 by Senators Kelly, Phillips, Donnelly, Lehman, relating to urging the governor to institute a hiring freeze on state government.
That will be referred to the State Affairs Committee, and I am adding a referral to the Finance Committee.
Yes, the Senate Bill 308, Finance, by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Alaska Coastal Management Program and the Responsibilities of the Alaska Coastal Policy Council and Providing for an Effective Date.
Will be referred to the House Question Committee on Oil and Gas and the Resources Committee.
Yes, the Senate Bill 319, Finance, by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Shallow Natural Gas and Providing for an Effective Date.
Also the House Special Committee on Oil and Gas and Resources.
Senate Bill 339 by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Increasing Fines for Certain Criminal Offenses.
It will be referred to the Judiciary and Finance Committee.
There are no further messages from the other body, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have communication?
We received from the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities the Vision 2020 Update Statewide Transportation Policy Plan. There are no further communications.
Report to Standing Committee.
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has reviewed the qualifications of Jay Livey as Commissioner, Department of Health and Social Services. The report recommending confirm Dyson, their recommendation, Coring and Coghill. The report was signed by Dyson Chair. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 27, License Home Inspectors, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 27, Finance, with the new title attaches a fiscal note and a zero fiscal note, recommending Dupass, Harris, Davies, Lancaster, and Williams. No recommendation, Bundy, Frost, and Hudson. The report was signed by Williams, co-chair. House Bill 27 has no further referral. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered sponsor substitutes for House Bill 292, Increased Child Care Grants, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending Dupass, Dissner, and Jewell. Do not pass, Coring. No recommendation, Coghill and Dyson. The report was signed by Dyson Chair. Sponsor substitute for House Bill 292 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 332, Extending Counsel on Domestic Violence, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 332, Finance, with a new title. Recommending Dupass, Bundy, Harris, Croft, Lancaster, Hudson, and Williams. No recommendation, Davies. The report was signed by Williams, co-chair. House Bill 332 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 397, Snowmobile Driver's Licensing Exemption, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 397, State Affairs, with a new title. Recommending Dupass, State, and Coghill. No recommendation, Wilson, Crawford, Stevens, and James. The report was signed by Coghill's chair. House Bill 397 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 421, Water Use and Appropriation, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 421, Resources, with the same title. Recommending Dupass, Whitaker, Harris, Lancaster, and Williams. No recommendation, Bundy, Croft, Davies, and Hudson. The report was signed by Williams, co-chair. House Bill 421 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered Committee Substitutes for Senate Bill 206 Transportation Disabled Parking and Registration Plate attaches a zero fiscal note recommending due pass Wilson Crawford, Stevens, James, Bate, and Coghill. The report was signed by Coghill Chair. DSSD 206 Transportation has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered Senate Bill 337, Eligibility for Municipal Tax Exemption, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 337, CNRA, with the same title, recommending due pass, Alcroft, Scalzi, Murkowski, and Meyer. No recommendation for Tula and Morgan. The report was signed by Meyer and Morgan, co-chairs. Senate Bill 337 has no further referral. There are no further standing committee reports.
Reports of special committees.
There are no special committee reports.
Introductions of resolutions or citations.
Honoring Lucille Wongatillon by Representative Foster. Honoring Lola Ferguson by Representative Guest. Honoring George Harper, Black and Alaska History Project by Representative Guest and Senator Ellis. Honoring Al Timogini Jr. by Representative Meyer. Honoring Jim Palmer by Representative Dyson. Honoring the 60 High School Girls Basketball Team Class 3A State Champions by Senator Ward and Senator Lehman. Honoring Fairbanks Junior Men's Curling Team, Leo Johnson, Colin Huffman, Martin Sather, Chris Minchoff, and Stephen Berkowitz by Senator Wilkin. In memoriam of Stella Eagles by Representative Lancaster. In memoriam James Messer by Senator Wilkin. House Joint Resolution 48 by the House Rules Committee relating to federal land withdrawals.
Will be referred to the Resources Committee.
There are no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Do we have bills for introduction?
House Bill 513 by the House Rules Committee by request of the House Special Committee on Economic Development, Trade, and Tourism entitled an act relating to issuance of permits for aquatic farming of shellfish.
With the concurrence of the chairman, I'm removing the House Special Committee on Fisheries referral and sending the bill on to resources.
House Bill 514 by the House Rules Committee, an act naming state ferries.
To the Transportation Committee.
House Bill 600 by Representative Davies, entitled an act relating to fish farming within the Tanana Valley Basin and providing for an effective date.
Read it. The House, please come back to order. HB 600 will be referred to the Special Committee on Trade and Tourism, Transportation, Special Committee on Fisheries, Resources, Finance, and the Speaker's right desk drawer. That does bring us to the consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's agenda?
House Bill 128 by Representatives Ogun, Coring, Hudson, Coghill, and Bundy, entitled an act relating to employment of certain minors in agriculture. The Labor and Commerce Committee considers the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 128, Labor and Commerce, with the new title, attached to fiscal note, recommending due pass Roeckberg, Meyer, Hayes, Crawford, Cott, and Murkowski. No recommendation, Hal Crow. The report was signed by Murkowski Chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 128, Labor and Commerce, with the new title, recommending due pass Bundy, Whitaker, Harris, Davies, Mulder. No recommendation, Moses. There's one committee substitute.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for House Bill 128 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Labor and Commerce substitute before us. Do we have any amendments?
I have no amendments, Mr. Speaker.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 128, Labor and Commerce, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
without objection. We are in third reading. Would the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
CS for House Bill 128, Labor and Commerce, entitled An Act Relating to the Required Approval of the Commissioner of Labor and Workforce Development for the Employment of Certain Minors.
Discussion. Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, obviously this bill was sponsored by the representative from Palmer, who is temporarily detained at Providence Hospital, and knowing that there is some chance that this would extend his stay in the cardiac unit, I will carry the bill for him. Mr. Speaker, this is, I think we could consider this a win-win-win bill. It's a win bill for young people who are seeking employment in Alaska. It's a win bill for employers who would like to have young people either on a temporary seasonal basis an opportunity to employ them, and certainly it's a win bill for parents who'd like to get the kids out of the house and contribute something toward those $100 pair of sneakers they want for the next school year. House Bill 128 streamlines the approval process between the Department of Labor and Workforce Development and employers who would like to hire minors. Nothing this, of course, will take away the protection of minors. That remains paramount in this proposal. The department has the work permit request form that must be signed by the parent or legal guardian of a minor and filed with the commissioner within 7 calendar days after the minor begins work. It's also possible to get pre-approval from the department to hire a minor who's at least 14 years of age to, and this is important, perform a specific set of job duties, and if there's to be any change in those job duties, then they have to go back and seek new approval. The work permit's valid only for the job, as I said, and duties listed. It is valid for one calendar year unless it is the permit is granted in December, and then it would be valid till the following December. It does not remove any current work permit processes, and they're certainly available to people that might want to use them. And I would note also that the Department of Labor does support this, so indeed it may be a win-win-win-win bill. And with that, I would encourage the body support.
Thank you, Representative Bundy. Mr. Minority Leader. Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. May we go back to second for the purpose of a specific amendment?
Without objection, we're in second for the purposes of a specific amendment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I apologize for not catching this earlier, but the specific amendment would be that there would be an immediate effective date on this bill. It seems to me that if we want to be using this legislation for the upcoming growing season, we ought to be moving quickly.
Motion before the body is an amendment establishing an immediate effective date on the bill. Is there objection? There being no objection, that amendment is passed. We're back in third for continued discussion. Is there any more discussion? Representative Dyson, and then Wilford.
Yeah, thank you. I read the bill with interest and signed on as a co-sponsor this morning. In reading the bill and the statutes that it amends, it's not clear to me that this is restricted to minors working in agriculture. And I realize the prime sponsor is not here, but if anybody could enlighten me that it is, and I'll support it either way, but it seems to me that it applies in other kinds of enterprises as well. And so I'd appreciate if anybody has some light on that.
Okay, Brookford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Endeavoring to clear up the matter from the members of Eagle River, I will say that the history of this bill was, when it was first introduced, was intended to be narrow in its focus regarding agriculture. But because I thought that the representative from Palmer had such a good idea, I kind of shanghaied the bill and went to a subcommittee for a while. And when it reemerged, it was a little bit different bill. But what it did was expand its application to all youth employment in the state of Alaska in all job categories. But because of the discussion we had regarding the peculiarities of harvesting and the activities and the agricultural, small be it an important part of our state's economy, and I think something that could grow quite readily, is that we believe that the application of a pre-inspection of an agricultural site would also be applicable to any other type of a business. Because one of the problems, Mr. Speaker, was when the bill came up, is that currently you must have the commissioner's approval. Therefore, you would potentially interview a small business, would interview and hire a youth, then he'd have to fax the application to the Department of Labor. Now, during the summer season, they might, the Department of Labor may be inundated with as many as 300 or 600 faxes a day, if I can recall correctly. And then they have to check and make sure that the particular job description is okay for the youth, and there's no hazardous material or hazardous types of thing going on. That's why this whole concept of the pre-inspection, if the business is smart, because before, they will have the pre-inspection done, because one of the problems with hiring young people today is that a business would go through the process of hiring, and then they would have to submit the facts. If the facts didn't come back for a day or two, they couldn't put that person to work. So it becomes kind of a paper thing, and it becomes a problem. And so what's happened, many small businesses, for example, fast food establishments and chains, have as a policy said, well, let's not even hire kids because it's such a pain to go through all this stuff. So what we have now is a situation where the Department of Labor can go out, pre-inspect the facilities, designate the job categories that will fit, and all you have to do is send a fax into the Department of Labor and go to work immediately. Boy, this is a great bill. It's a super bill for small business. A little small change can go a long ways. I think this will save the department money in the long run, and I think it's great for youth employment in the city.
Representative Rockberg. Brief, please. Any further discussion of committee substitute for HB 128? Are we ready for the question? Question before the body is the passage of committee substitute for HB 128, Labor and Commerce, effective date added. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
29 yeas, 0 nays.
The bill for the substitute for HB 128, Labor and Commerce, has passed the House. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Call the House so we can vote on that.
There's been a call placed on the House. We will probably not have an awful lot of discussion on the effective date. Oh, we need to? 27. Just 27. Never mind. Okay. The motion before the body is the application of the roll call vote to the effective date clause. Is there objection? Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Would the clerk please read the next item? Well, let me see. Actually, Madam Clerk, never mind. Is the next item 343?
Yes,
HB 343, for lack of the sponsor being present to tell us all about that bill, will be carried over onto the tomorrow's calendar for presentation. But please keep your copy of HB 343. Senate bill. I'm sorry, Senate bill. Would the clerk then please read the next item?
CS for House Bill 216, Resources, entitled An Act Relating to the Emergency Order Authority of the Commissioner of Fish and Game and to Meetings of the Board of Fisheries. We're in third reading.
Discussion. Kelsey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill was before us before, and because of a technical glitch, page 2 was missing, and we did move it back to rules. And I appreciate the actually moving it back, Mr. Speaker, because it's given me an opportunity to go around to everybody and assure them of the merit of this bill and the importance of this bill. Essentially, what it does is it clarifies the emergency order in statute, where right now, for the Department of Fish and Game to act on an emergency order, they may deviate from their normal course of openings and closings when circumstances require. Under this bill, it clarifies the language and is very specific as to when the Department of Fish and Game may do this. And I think it actually tightens things up. It allows the commissioner to deviate against the regulatory proposal when there's a biological allowable resource harvest that would otherwise be precluded and delayed by action, unavailable in the future. It also determines that the board's decisions and all their provisions that they put into the regulatory language will be considered. The commissioner cannot reallocate during this, and it can only be for a specific time frame. So it clarifies what's in statute now and cleans it up. It also, for conservation purposes, when a board makes a decision and they take things out of cycle, a conservation concern or purpose must be ratified by the Department of Fish and Game. What this does is says that the biological managers of the state are the best ones to make that decision. The Board of Fish can certainly take anything out of cycle for any other reason if they so choose to write the regulations for that. But if they're going to use a conservation purpose or concern to take something out of cycle, they should have concurrence with our biological managers. And as I said before, if we don't use the biological managers, then we can eliminate $30 million from our budget. Under the webpage for the Department of Fish and Game, I would just like to say in the success story, it says, with constitutional and statutory conservation mandates, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game has effectively managed Alaska's salmon stocks to ensure conservation and promote sustainable production. Alaska Department of Fish and Game has done a terrific job in managing those fisheries. We need to maintain their support and their place in the balance of power with the Board of Fisheries. And on that, Mr. Speaker, I will stand for any questions. Thank you.
Representative Gelsey. Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know you didn't anticipate me speaking on this, nor did the sponsor. Mr. Speaker, I rise in opposition to this bill, as I did before when it was first put forward to us. Mr. Speaker, this is put forward to us as simply a clarification of current statute. And I would submit to you, Mr. Speaker, that I don't agree with that interpretation. I think it's a pretty significant change to the direction of the way that we're directing the Board of Fish to operate. First off, let me say, Mr. Speaker, I don't think the process that we have right now is broken. And I don't think that this legislation has established the fact that the process we're operating under is broken. What's broken? What do we need to fix? Now, there may be some users, some people within the allocation scheme who don't like the outcome. There's always winners and losers in allocation time. But I don't think there's anything broken. Now, if you want to look at a bigger philosophical issue, you know, about whether you have a professional board or personal board, obviously within the state of Alaska, we have a citizen board, okay, to volunteer their time, thanklessly, for a huge job. But that's not covered in here. Mr. Speaker, is a very narrowly carved tweak at the Board of Fish. It's significant, however, because what we're saying is that, okay, Board of Fish, you can make your decisions on a management plan. You can stand there or sit in your chairs for 2 to 3 weeks, which is sometimes what they do, especially with Cook Inlet, and make no mistake, this really does deal with Cook Inlet, Mr. Speaker. You can sit in your chair for 3 weeks working through these contentious issues, making your tough, allocative decisions, walk away from the table feeling like you've struck the adequate compromise to ensure the future of the fishery, and oh, by the way, if down the line the Commissioner of Fish and Game says, oh, we don't agree with that decision, we can change it. We can do it. Who's driving this decision for aging process, Mr. Speaker? We have designated the Board of Fish to do our job. We've designated them to do our job. Now, through this legislation, we're saying, no, we're actually going to let the Board of, we're going to let the Department of Fish and Game do it instead of the Board of Fish. That's really what this gets down to, Mr. Speaker. We're having the Board, we're having the Department of Fish and Game determine who gets what. You can say it's special circumstances, this or that, but that's really what it's down to at the end. Mr. Speaker, it's a slap in the face to the Board of Fish to go forward with this. It's never been put forward to us that the Board of Fish supports us because they don't. Never been put forward to us that the department supports us because they don't. Mr. Speaker, I don't see what's broken in the process. This issue revolves around two issues that I've talked about before. I'll just, you know, re-clarify them to the members here. In two occasions, once when the Board of Fish took up the special management plan for Cook Inlet for silver salmon, we had a conservation concern, a very significant conservation concern. The Board of Fish took up the silver management plan with special circumstances because there was a conservation concern, and they took action. Obviously, some folks didn't like that, and they want to control their ability to be able to do that. Likewise, Mr. Speaker, 2 years ago, we had an abundance of pigs return to Cook Inlet, and some folks desired to harvest those pigs. Well, Mr. Speaker, at a nickel a pound, as I put forward before, a nickel a pound, it's not worth the effort. It's going to cost you more than you're going to harvest going after pinks. However, not knowing that much about a commercial fishery, but I do know enough the fact when you're going after pinks, you catch a heck of a lot of silvers in the process. And they're worth a lot more money, and they make it worth your while to go out pink fishing. This bill allows for the Board of Fish action. The board, and when that concern was reflected to the commissioner 2 years ago, he rejected it because the board had taken strong action for a conservation measure for silver fishery. He rejected it then. This bill would be a backhand door, a backdoor way of trying to get back into that pink fishery, supposedly, really the silver fishery for commercial fishermen. This is because the process that we have is not broken. Unfortunately, I view it as allocative. And I really, you know, I can't feel in good conscience that we as the legislature should get involved in these fights anymore. For those reasons, Mr. Speaker, I would encourage our members to vote against this bill.
Representative Mulder, Representative Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand in support of this bill. I think it's a very good tool that that the department can use. We want to make the changes done by a scientific manner, not by hoping that I think that there's enough silvers, or there are some silvers going through here in king salmon or what the other bycatch. I want the scientists to use to be involved in making this decision. When the board meets these 2 or 3 weeks out of the year, they aren't there on the ground. They don't know what the fishing and what the fish are doing at that time. You know, Mr. Speaker, listening to the co-chair of finance talk this recent just now, I've heard that debate in the timber industry. You know, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. We're not using scientific knowledge. I keep saying, let's use the scientific knowledge. And they said, no, we don't need the scientific knowledge. We know better. Well, we know very well in Southeast Alaska today because we don't have a timber industry, but you can look around here. There sure is a lot of timber. So, Mr. Speaker, I think we do need the scientific knowledge here, or we'll end up like Southeast timber industry. A lot of fish and no scientific knowledge used and the timberness throughout. I encourage you to vote yes, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Williams. Representative Hudson and then Stevens.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. A few years back, we had a unfortunate disease that hit here in southeast Alaska. It was a bitter crab disease. And the board had met in southeast Alaska just a year previous, and they really weren't scheduled to be coming back down here for some period of time. This would be an instance of where the commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game would be able to modify the areas in which crab could be taken in order to avoid taking bitter crab, which would, had many of them had already been taken and were hitting the marketplace and suppressing or depressing the prices of the Dungeness crab in the marketplace. And that's just an example of why I think this is a good legislation. It's all a matter of responding in a timely fashion and in a professional, biologically sound fashion. And I think that's what this bill does. I don't think that it's going to drastically change the way the Board of Fish works. I believe you'll still see the continued working relationship between the commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game and the board, as it always has in the past, because they really do feel the need to work together. So I think that this is a good legislation that allows timely action on the part of the commissioner when it's biologically the proper thing to do in an emergency circumstances, and when it's economically in the best interest of the people and biologically in the best interest of the species. So I would urge people to vote for the bill.
Mr. Speaker, I want to rise to support the bill. I believe that this is very good legislation. The comment that things may be broken, I don't think they are, and that's not the implication of this legislation. I think this is an improvement. It changes things for the good. It really does two things. It tightens up on the issue of emergency orders for in-season management, and the second thing it does is to clarify the issue of agenda changes, out-of-cycle changes. It requires that the concurrence of ADF and G. So I think it's a good bill, Mr. Speaker.
Then Stephen. Further discussion, Representative Dyson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also rise in support of the bill. In the years that I've worked on marine science projects, mostly operating small research vessels, I learned a couple of things from the biologists. One is that the biological sciences are the most primitive of all the sciences, and they argue that we maybe are only 15% through the first part, which is the descriptive phase. And marine biology is even further behind. And what we don't know is monumental. Now, salmon fisheries, particularly when the fish out-migrating of the smolt, they disappear in the ocean, we hardly know where they go. We've done some tagging, but we hardly know where they're at. In Alaska, salmon have been climbed as far south as Midway, all across what we would consider the western part of the Pacific. And so every year, those of us who fish, we're always kind of standing there. Are they going to show up? And some years they haven't shown up, and it's a great mystery. But we do our test fisheries. We have people flying, trying to spot the incoming schools of fish. But until they start getting caught or spotted, we don't really know whether they're coming back. We give a huge job to the managers trying to figure out how to manage those schools of fish when they come back. And certainly in the areas where I fished in western Alaska, they come back in a very concentrated time frame, generally within 3 or 4 weeks. And some of them, the half of them may come back, 15 million fish may come back in 3 or 4 tides. So adapting to what's going on is a continual changing game for the managers of those fisheries. And I think that what we are doing here is giving the management to the commissioner the flexibility to respond to a very changing situation. And given the track record we've had in this state, I have confidence that the management of fish and game will not abuse that. I think we need to be careful and be watchful, but I don't think that it's going to be abused. And I would encourage support for the bill.
Representative Dyson.
Representative Scalzi?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And wrap up.
Wrap up.
I appreciate the comments of the former speakers. I would like to take exception with a few things that my friend from Muldoon said, and that is that the commissioner under that instance a few years ago with pink salmon did have the opportunity to reopen the fishery and chose not to. This would not change that, and it probably would not change his decision at the time to do so. He weighed the evidence, and he said, I certainly have the authority because it says when circumstances require, I can do it, but I'm not going to because of my fear for the coho. But to clarify when that would happen, this was one of those instances. I will agree with that. There's also a statement that the Board of Fish and the Department of Fish and Game have not come forward. They helped write this. I worked with the attorneys from the Board of Fisheries, and I worked with the attorneys from the Department of Fish and Game. And this is collective language that they both agreed to. The most important thing for both departments and the board was to not unseat the balance of power. And this bill does not do that. I've spoken with the director of Comfish, Sportfish, and the commissioner himself. And they have no problem with this bill. Otherwise, we would have heard that in resources. But also like to say that I do agree with my colleague from Muldoon and perhaps his lack of knowledge of commercial fisheries. When pink salmon are at nickel a pound, it certainly doesn't seem as conducive to go after them. But by golly, there are a lot of people who will fish for a nickel a pound because that's all they have. And to allow a substantial amount of resource, regardless of what it is, to go unharvested is a wanton. I think we should be guilty of wanton waste. What if the next time it's sockeye? Do we weigh that against what if some silvers are worth? That is, like he said, an allocative decision, and I think it's a biological decision. And again, in wrap, I think that I just want to be clear that this does not unseat the power. It does not make the commissioner stronger than the board, but it does clarify it in those times when we have to manage immediately, and that's what this does. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gelder. Representative Mulder.
Mr. Speaker, I just got to rise to clarify a few things. First of all, I'm not challenging our department's ability to respond. They already have that in statute. The instance brought forward by my friend from Juneau, they already have the ability to respond to a crisis. And I would agree with my friend from Eagle River, who said that we've got a pretty good track record in terms of putting the responsibility in the hands of the local managers to do those things. Our department's done a pretty good job that way. But make no mistake about it, Mr. Speaker. This bill doesn't apply to those situations. I'm not trying to say that we should go against that science because that's what's out there already. What do you think the board takes action on? They have the department bring forward the best science. And they're not going to fly in the face of the best science. I mean, that's not logical. They're going to put in place what they think is for the best of the resource, and then they're going to make allocative decisions.
Mr. Speaker, may I have leave? I mean, this is really the guts of the bill. It's just this one line.
No objection?
Okay. Notwithstanding this section, the commissioner may, on the basis of new information, supersede a regulatory decision by the Board of Fisheries, in other words, it's an allocative decision, by exercising authority under the section to allow or extend a fishing season to prevent the loss of a biologically allowable resource harvest that would otherwise be precluded by delayed action and unavoidable in the future. Mr. Speaker, that's allocation. Pure and simple, that's allocation. You're saying the commissioner, when he sees that you've got an opportunity to make another serviceable harvestable surplus, and it's out there, well, you know, the board didn't say you could do it, but I'm going to say you can go get them anyway. The board balances out all these decisions. I mean, they took into consideration the pink harvest. They took into consideration all these other things when managing cook inlet. Mr. Speaker, I know that people don't like getting in the middle of fish fights. I don't either. But Mr. Speaker, this is an allocative bill, plain and simple. If it weren't, why would it need to be here? And as for the statement that it was put forward by the board or they worked with the board, well, that may be true. They worked with the attorneys from the board. But I challenge you to look in the backup to find a letter of support by the Board of Fish or by the department. It's not there, Mr. Speaker. They may have worked with the attorneys, but they don't think it's a good bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Mulder. Any other discussion? Ready for the question. Question before the body is the passage of committee subsidy for HB 216 resources. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
24 yeas, 4 nays.
And so, committee substitute for HB 216 resources has passed the House. Would the clerk please read the next item?
There's citations on today's calendar.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations on today's calendar are approved. We have just a brief study. Brings us to unfinished business. Items of unfinished business, Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the following representatives be excused from the call of the House for the following time. Representative Crawford from 7:09 p.m. Friday, April 12th to 9:35 p.m. playing time Sunday, April 14th. Representative Bates from 5 p.m. Wednesday, April 10th to 10 p.m. playing time Sunday, April 14th. Representative Sukesh from 8 a.m. Tuesday, April 2 to 9 p.m. playing time Wednesday, April 3. Representative Roford from 6 a.m. Friday, April 12 to 10 a.m. playing time Monday, April 15, and amend his previously excused absence from 6 a.m. Friday, March 29 to 10:04 a.m. playing time Monday, April 1.
Without objection, those members will be shown as excused on the dates and times indicated by the Majority Leader. Any other items of unfinished business? Committee announcements. Representative Masick and then Murkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Resource Meeting will meet at 1 o'clock if we have a quorum. I'm not sure if we're going to have one, but we'll be there at the meeting. Thank you.
Representative Masick. Representative Murkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The members of Labor and Commerce should look at the committee schedule this afternoon. It is a very heavy schedule, and on top of that, we're going to report out House Bill 399, and my staff told me to make sure that everybody knew that the schedule was not an April Fool joke. We're going to work hard and try to get caught up.
Representative Murkowski. Representative Rookberg.
Madam Speaker, the House Judiciary Committee will meet at 1 p.m., and we do have only one bill on the calendar. If we get it out, we can get out of there. Thank you.
Representative Rookberg. Any other committee announcements? Regular announcements. Representative Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. Tomorrow and the following Tuesday, both we will have Children's Caucus at noon or as soon as we can. And tomorrow it'll be the Smart Start, and the following week it'll be Child Abuse Prevention Network. And if I may have your indulgence, I'd like to report on the condition of the member of this body that normally should be sitting in front of me.
Without objection.
Yeah, I visited Scott on Saturday. He's had off the respirator, very conscious, and just immensely grateful for all the messages he's received from you all and the huge wall-sized poster with many of your signatures and messages on it. And the doctors have said that they now have evaluated that about 15% damage to his heart, and he will be able to resume all activities that he previously did, hunting and fishing and racquetball, and and within a year he'll be able to be back flying, and he's irritated that gavel to gavel is not on here so he could watch, but a lady that most of you remember that's down the hall said that she's working on it and she'll have gavel to gavel available there in the hospital very soon. But Scott is just overwhelmed with you all's sympathy and the support for his family. And he's eager to be back with us and looks like he's going to make a full recovery.
We're here. We anticipate hooking him up telephonically tomorrow. Any other items any other announcements?
Mr. Speaker, there will be a majority caucus immediately following the adjournment today.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Well, we're going to have one too, Mr. Speaker. But ours will be brief.
A majority and minority caucus immediately following session. Any other announcements? Special orders. Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Not about fish. Request permission to speak about It's Betty Time.
Without objection.
Mr. Speaker, it's that week again, the week that we have honoring a former friend, obviously a person who I work for, admired very much, former Senator Betty Fahrenkamp. We have a little putting tournament in her honor, benefiting a couple charities. That will take place this weekend, Thursday night and Saturday. We have the putting tournament here. And last year, Mr. Speaker, we raised $60,000 for charity, and I get afraid about ever being able to surpass that, and I'm not sure we will this year, but I'm up for the challenge and we'll try. But I would really request, this is not, for those members who have not participated, this is not a display in ability. This is a display in humility and fun. Don't worry about being good. Just come to have fun. Please participate. It makes a world of difference. So I would encourage you, you all have sign-up forms. Please take a moment to sign up. If you don't have three people, that's okay. We have a number of folks who are coming up as individuals. We can help fill out your teams. I really welcome you to participate. It's been a great cause. It's a lot of fun.
Representative Mulder, any other special orders? Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's rare that I stand up under special orders, but I have permission to speak on good news, sad news.
Without objection.
As was mentioned by a couple of the speakers, I also had an opportunity to visit with our good friend and colleague from District 27 yesterday afternoon at 5 o'clock, and he was being fed a nice chicken dinner. So he's doing extremely well. And as I left the room, he said, I hope to be out of here by the weekend, which I think is extremely optimistic, but I wish him Godspeed and hope that'll come to pass. In addition, Mr. Speaker, I also had the opportunity to visit the lady, Ramona Barnes, who used to sit in this chair for about an hour and a half. And she also is doing much better. Seems like her signs now or her system is under control based on the new antibiotics that's been provided to her. Her doctors said that she would probably be able to go home in 3 or 4 days. So both of those folks are doing extremely well. To speak on a sad note, I think many of us probably read the morning paper. We had another avalanche in Eagle River, Long Island Road. It was the second one in 3 days. And unlike the first one, where there was no loss of human life, there were a father and a stepson who perished in this particular avalanche. Mr. Speaker, in the article in the paper, it says here that the avalanche experts had feared that something bad would happen this weekend based on the warm sunshine and the snow that's forever unforgiving at times. It's just unfortunate that we couldn't have prevented this. I know a little later on in the article, one of the gentlemen said he wished he could have put a big sign that just said, do not enter. So for all those here and for all those that may be viewing in from around the state, it is a very difficult time of the year for those who are interested in snowmobiling and just traversing the high cliffs of our mountains and exploring the beauty of the state. I would hope that they would be cautious and take the necessary precautions that are, I think, responsible actions to ensure that we don't have number 9. That was our 8th avalanche death this year, and hopefully there won't be any more. So, Mr. Speaker, I just hope that members can spread that word around to their constituents that they're going to be up there on the mountains. And then these two gentlemen were on snowshoes, so, and I could see the avalanche out my front door, so pretty close to home. Anyways, Mr. Speaker, I just hope that all the members here and the constituents around the state take a little extra precaution and do their safe kinds of things.
Representative Kapp, any other special orders? Madam Majority Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Tuesday, April 2.
See you tomorrow.